something we wanted to mention before we look to the Lord in prayer. Sister Barbara is traveling to see her daughter Raina in Maine, and praying that everything goes well with her. Glad to see Brother Donnie well enough to be with us today. Thank the Lord for that. I want to keep Brother Jack Priest in a prayer, Sister Martha, Sister Judy Gray, Sister Joy Smith, Brother Giles Partlow, all the folks in the nursing homes, Ed Hurt, Hall, and Hidden Springs. We want to continue to pray for them. Keep all of Sister Lisa's family in your prayer, Sally, and just all of them in general. We'll be praying for them. Want to continue to pray for Brother Stan Cadle. Brother Stan was not able to have his surgery because of some low blood levels. He will be tested again next month, and the good news is if everything checks out good, he'll go right on the list for the surgery and won't have to be put at the bottom of the list. So we're hoping that everything turns out okay there. Praying for him, pray for his family, Sister Vicki, all that's going on with their family, just continue to pray for all of them. Brother Ricky Myers, who we've been praying for, he had the transplant, the liver transplant. He's been doing well, so continue to pray for him. All the folks over at Union Church, Sister Louise Ashby, all the different ones here, that, the McIntyre family, we continue to pray for them. Just all of our membership, those that we missed today. Sister Belinda and Brother J.D. are vacationing down in Tennessee. We miss them. Pray that everything goes well as they travel back. Don't know exactly when that is, but we'll be praying for them. Others that you know of, I know there are many that I need to mention. Remember all of our folks that we even mentioned online. Just, you know, the Lord knows them all. And we just want to continue to pray for all of them that they're going through. Pray for our little churches. Our churches in this part of the country, as well as our sister churches in other states. We want to be praying for wherever the Lord's planted a church in this world. We want to be praying for his people. And I'm just so thankful we have such a place as this. The Lord has allowed us to come out from this world and into. Thankful that the accident with Sister Diana's brother was, everybody got through that as well as they did. And we just want to continue to pray for all of them, but right now everybody's recovering pretty well. This Brother Hunter today is doing okay. We'll be praying for him, Sister Nicole, all of the family. Pray for our communion service this afternoon. The Lord will bless us in that. The Lord bless the rest of this day with all that he's allowed us to have, all the wonderful blessings he's supplied, that he will continue to be with us. Any others that you know of? Betty Lou Brown, we understand, had a fall at home and banged herself up pretty good. And just wanted to keep her in her prayers. Also, Sister Linda Everett has a bit of a cough and just didn't feel like she was coming to be able to be in school today, but she just felt like she didn't want to bring anything in on anybody. So, keep her in your prayers as well. Others that you know we need to mention. Yes, your policy. Anything in particular? Others that you know.
David Dawn.
David. Others that you know. Brother Troy, yes. That's over in Mount Carmel Church. Brother Ned Honeycutt, continue to pray for. Brother Phil Show, thank you. Brother Phil, Sister Mary, want to continue to pray for them. Again, if you miss anybody, we're sorry, but I'm thankful the Lord does it. We're leaving it in the Lord's hands. Yes, sir. Ultrasound tomorrow. Pray everything goes well. All of our family. Brother John, good having you, brother. Love you.
You've got to mention yourself. We need to pray for you.
Well, just please do that, brother.
that song that we sang, "Come Unto Me," the Lord gives us as His children each and every day of our lives. Simply just to come unto Him. There we as His children will find rest in this time world. It's not meant that we journey alone, but that we listen to the Lord. The author and finisher of our faith, and we find comfort in Jesus. So, not just a solemn thing, but it's something to practice. God's church. Let us go before the Lord.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, dear God, for blessing us this day. Thank you for the day on which you want to adopt and place you within our hearts, that we might gather together in this little vessel spot to worship the Lord our God. The merciful Heavenly Father, as we have gathered, we pray that thou would indeed bless us with a clear and clear understanding of our hearts. We thank you, dear God, for bringing Brother Carol this way. We just ask that thou might lift him up, that lifting up would be to thy praise. We pray, dear God, for all of those who are listening this morning. We know that even before we ask, that thou knowest your individual. We pray that thou might bless them to feel thy presence, that healing and comforting hand might be upon each and every one of them. We pray for Brother Gary, the pastor of this church, that I would bless him. We know that he is feeling uncomfortable this morning, but we know that thou art out of all kinds, that comfort in the healing that might be upon. Pray for this world to come unto all thy church and for thy children. Thou might bless us, dear God, to keep you in the press on, that we might always look up to you for thy comfort, we know where that comfort is. Merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the natural liberty that we gain for in this life. We pray for the leaders thereof, those elected preachers and all those who are in office, God, that thou might indeed touch their hearts in such a way, raise up their religious spirit, and use their ground as an opportunity. Merciful Heavenly Father, if we use this stone, we bring not only to ourselves, but all thy children, that the other faith in the Lord. We reflect us in this place, glorify thy name, we pray, in each and every heart, that thy name is great. We ask thee, that you be in this name, and for thee,
quite a while, Sister Gladys. They visit over in some of the places that I go to. And I bump into them, and I'm thankful for the privilege.
That's all right.
I'm thankful for the privilege to be here today. Yeah. But one thing about it, they don't know the volume of my voice. Sometimes it gets pretty loud. Some of y'all know how loud I can get, but it's...
I was almost ready to go on.
This is not, you know, when I'm around these elders, I feel like I'm about that big. And I just respect them and so thankful for what God has given them, how they so well blessed to bring forth that of the gospel. And I hope and pray that the Lord understands that of your needs today. Because the Lord is able to deliver and provide for each one. It doesn't make any difference how many there are, or, you know, how many ears you have on your head. God is able to provide. And He will provide if it be His will. And as He said, that if you come in right frame of mind, hungering and thirsting after that, the Word of God, you shall be fed. There's no doubt, no question. I'm sure that my family is not in favor of this. I'm not in favor of it, and I know my family is not in favor of it. They would have much rather come here and heard Brother Gary and Brother John. And I thought this morning that I want to, you know, Sim was talking about, God, couldn't find my watch this morning, Brother Gary. I was in a panic, you know, because I don't know what to do without my watch. So I told Sim this morning when he got up, I said, if I start standing too long, raise your hand and give me a motion. Let me know that it's too long. I need to sit down. And he said, well, how long do you need? I said, well, I don't want to stand any more than 30 minutes because I want to hear Brother Gary and Brother John preach. But I'm going to, the Bible teaches us not to quench the Spirit. So I have no control. And it could be that I might not be up here but a minute. You know, if the Lord doesn't take charge, I'm not going to have anything to say that's going to be a benefit, because you don't want me to stand up here and talk in that of the wisdom of man, because that benefits no one. I want to be able to hope and pray that God would take this unworthy dust, bless me, be that of my mouthpiece, because if anything is going to be said or done as to your benefit, it comes from that of God. So we pray that God would be in the midst of each one, that He'll only take care of this brother here that's before you, and also bless you with ears to hear and a heart to understand. We have all come to hear the gospel. That's what I came for today too. Matter of fact, I prayed that God would bless me with that of the gospel. Now that doesn't mean coming from me. I was hoping that Brother Gary and Brother John, but I should know better. I mean, I didn't fall that's right. Brother John told me before I even got up the door that, got your Bible and everything with you, because be ready. And I told Brother Gary that I came to listen to them, and he said that's not going to happen. I knew right off the bat that my chances of being sitting down and listening is slim. But if the Lord had blessed me this morning, I did find my watch. I don't know if I told y'all, I found it. I found my watch. It was hiding from me, and I was in a panic. I did find it, so thank the good Lord for that. That I hope and pray that I'll be mindful of the time. I do get to, I've heard Brother Gary and Brother John preach. We've got this new method of communication now. Brother John sends me emails with all the sermons, and so I've had a chance to listen to y'all already on several occasions. And like I told Ellen, she's been wanting me to transfer some of that information to her, and I hadn't done it yet. I guess I'm hoarding all the gospels, the preaching, and keeping it to myself. And she's been wanting to hear some of it. But we're thankful that the technology is as it is. They're able. Well, John's been trying to get me on this thing, Zoom, whatever they call it. I'm not really good at all this Zooming, except that I've learned about staying with Sim and Hannah that they got a cat that zooms around quite a bit, and he'll go in a spree of running from one end of the house to the apartment to the other apartment. I told him this morning that I opened up the door and the cat zoomed in and zoomed right back out. He checked it out and saw everything was good, I guess, and left back out of there. But I want to read, if the Lord will bless me, it's just reading is a benefit. And so we hope and pray that the Lord will bless me. I'm interested this morning and hope and pray that it is of the Lord's will that I read from the Hebrews. The Hebrew letter is a mystery because no one really knows for sure who the author is. I love reading about people's opinions, and that's what they are when they try to figure out who the author of Hebrews is. And at one time I wanted to believe it was the Apostle Paul, but after I've read it, I don't know if that's his language or not. I'm not sure. You know, because Paul's got so many other epistles or so many books that, you know, and he brings a certain a dictation to it that when you read Hebrews, it's entirely different. So I'm not sure. But it doesn't really matter. Whoever it is that wrote this book was inspired by that of God.
Amen.
And that's all we need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also know that in the reading of Hebrews, that it was obvious that he was preaching to a Christian Jewish community. Yeah. And some people think that maybe he was preaching to a Christian community that was located in Rome at the time. That's uncertain too, because of the persecution that was taking place. And what the author here in Hebrews is writing was trying to embrace and communicate Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he was reminding them, I love the reading at the beginning because the author brings about angels quite a bit and talks about angels. And, I used to think, I dwell about angels a good bit. And some people, I don't know whether y'all believe in angels or not, but I hope you do. Yeah, I hope that I have one that's particularly watching over me, you know. And because, but then again, I thought this morning on the porch, I hope that I'll think about it. I said, maybe there's more than one. Maybe the Lord has put 10 or 12 on me, and that would be wonderful. Or maybe they alternate. You know, I don't know, but their angels are nothing but ministers. No, I shouldn't say nothing. They are ministers of the Lord. They minister to who? They don't minister to the world. They minister to God's people, the saints. And those that have been called and set apart is who these angels minister to. So we are being ministered daily by that of angels. And we are also led and directed by that of the Holy Ghost. And who is the Holy Ghost? Well, there's God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's three in one. They're all one. So, you know, I believe that there's angels that minister to us, but then I also believe totally that the Spirit of the Almighty God, when he calls you and quickens you, he fills you with that Spirit that abides within this earthen tabernacle. That's what we are, is just a tabernacle for that of the Lord. And I'm thankful that the Lord abides within this, because I think Brother John even mentioned in his prayer about that unction that he gives us, that desire to be in a place such as this. That comes from that of God. You know, you just didn't all of a sudden get up in the morning and say, you know, I think I'm going to go to church. You got up this morning and said, I want to go to church. And if you really like I am, you say, I know I need to go to church. The church is where we assemble ourselves to fellowship one with the other. Without that of my brethren and sisters, I don't know what I'd do. I'm discomforted with that of the family of God. And everywhere I go, we were talking about coming over here, how many people that we were going to bump into that we knew. And I said, well, it's going to probably be a slim crowd that we know, that I know. You know, Brother John, Sister Gladys, Brother Gary, I knew how they were going to be in. But that was the slim. If I bumped into anybody else, I thought maybe I'd run into one or two, which I have, that has seen me before, that maybe traveled where Brother Gary was or whatever. But it's good to be with y'all, each one of you. I want to read in that of chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, and hope and pray that the Lord will bless me to expound upon it. I love the writing. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Good directions. We need to take heed to the things that we have learned, to the things that God has taught us. He showed us, directed us, and we need to take heed to these things. You know, I believe that the writer here was preaching to a Jewish community that was in the midst of trials and tribulations. They were, you know, that was back during the time frame that Nero was the emperor, and he was persecuting Christians. And so, but here is some Jews that were Christians, and I believe Nero didn't like them at all. Anybody that was a Christian, he didn't like them. He wanted to persecute them. And he did a good job. And I believe that the writer here was preaching to this Jewish community to hold fast. Stand fast in that gospel that you've heard. And we need to hear that every day, to stand fast in that of the doctrine of our Lord and Savior. The things that we should be heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression, and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. And this is what I wanted to get to. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Our salvation. We need to appreciate, be thankful. And matter of fact, I tell people back home that it's hard for me to comprehend the eternal salvation that we have received through that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we actually know what that means, that salvation? It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's, you know, so when does it begin? You know, eternity has no beginning and no end. And people say, well, when does my salvation begin when I'm being born again? No, your salvation began in the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of this world. That's when your salvation began. Now, you might have not comprehended that. You weren't around. But God was able and knows each and every one of you by name. And your salvation is what God prepared before the foundation of this world. The salvation that we get to rejoice in was foreordained by that of God before the foundation of this world. And you know, he sent his only begotten Son to give us this salvation, to bring us to manifest that salvation, to make us to understand that salvation. And for us to understand it, we had to be worked on. You know, the Lord sort of works on us. And you know, when he works on us, he brings us to that of the truth and the knowledge. Now, I like to tell people that that spirit, that he brings that spirit and it quickens you where you were dead in the trespasses of sin. He quickens you to be alive in that of Christ Jesus. It's all done by that of God in his power. The Holy Ghost is that of God. And you know what? I tell people that that Holy Ghost that abides, they say, well, you know, so I've had some people say, well, sometimes I feel like the Holy Ghost just comes on to me at the time. But that Holy Ghost is there. It's sort of like your radio. You know, yeah, compare it to your radio. You know, that Holy Ghost has volume control. God is able to crank that thing up where you just feel so excited that you'll jump up and down and say, praise the Lord, and cry, Abba, Father. And then sometimes you feel like you're just dragging. You know, the volume has been decreased a little bit. Now, God wants to increase that volume all the time. But sometimes we are being that of sinners. We don't deserve to have that volume increased. So we are dependent upon that of God in all things. We pray that the Spirit will abound in this old earthen tabernacle, that it might be stronger than the weaknesses of this flesh, that through his Spirit we might overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. You know, the Apostle Paul is told us that there's a warfare. I'm sure you felt that battle before internally. You know that there's a warfare. It's the Spirit of God against the spirit of the flesh. We have that warfare that we are contending with each and every day. But what the writer here in Hebrews is telling that of the Jewish community is to stand fast and hold fast, because there's trials and troubles out there. But brothers and sisters, we can take this Hebrew letter and apply it to ourselves, because there's still trials and troubles today. Maybe we are not being persecuted to the magnitude that the Christians back in that day were, but we still withstand persecution each day. Have you ever talked to anybody that just doesn't appreciate your religious opinion? Yeah, it's a hard pill to swallow. And you know, and especially being an old Baptist, you know, believing what we believe and acting out what we believe, there's a lot of people out there that don't go along with what we do, don't understand it. It's sort of like a friend that I talked to, and he was a Baptist, First Baptist. I don't know what kind of Baptist he was, Southern Baptist, whatever it was. But he wanted to know what kind of Baptist was I. And I told him about Primitive Baptist, and you know, one of the things that he said, well, what do y'all believe? And the first thing that came out of my mouth was election. And he said, you one of those? Oh, no, I can't go along with that election. You know, there's people out here in this world that want so desperately to have control of their own life and their destiny. You know, I hope my destiny is going to be with that of God. I hope and pray that one day that I'll be able to see my Lord and Savior face to face. And that day is getting closer, Brother Gary. You know, I used to didn't think about it very much. When I was in my 40s, I just sort of didn't dwell on it. But now that I'm 70, as a matter of fact, I just turned 72. And, you know, I'm beginning to think a little bit more about that destiny, about that my salvation. You know, that's what keeps me strong, is to know that God has prepared for me a place, just like he's prepared for you a place. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be bold enough to say this, that I believe that each one that is sitting here today is a child of God. You know, you might not be fired up yet, as I call it, you know, but that'll come. That'll come. If you're a child of God, believe me, God is able to give you that unction, that desire to want to be in a place such as this. And it gets stronger and stronger. You know, we grow in faith. Somebody told me one time, said, you know, should you pray for God to strengthen your faith? You got faith that God is right. Well, yes. Yeah, I want my faith to be as strong as Abraham. You know, as strong as Job. I want my faith to be secure. And I trust totally in that of the Almighty God, in my weaknesses and my trials and troubles. I want to know that I can look to my God and hold fast to him. You know, because he is our God. He's able to do all things for us. He's able to provide for us. When we're weak, he makes us strong. When we're feeble-minded, he takes care about this old mind of ours. God is the God of all things. And this is what he's saying here, that how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, we should understand our salvation. It's beautiful. It's eternal. And brothers and sisters, we have a home with that of God. One day that I'll be there, and I hope and pray that I'll be there to see God face to face. I'll see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a hope that lieth within me. You know, a lot of people don't understand the hell. They said, do you know you're going to heaven? And I said, well, I'm not sure. You know, and they said, well, look at me and said, what do you mean you're not sure? Well, I hadn't got there yet. Yeah. Once I get there, I'll come back and tell y'all I'm there. You know? But I don't know for sure whether I'm going to be there yet. But I have a hope. That hope is spiritual hope. It's not the kind of casual hope that we have in nature. It's a earnest hope. It is what we are dwelling on. We are hoping that God has mercy upon us and that we one day will be able to taste that of that heavenly throne that we have been promised. One day we'll get there. One day, and there's times in my life, Brother Gary, that you can't tell me I'm not going. You know, I feel confident that I'm going to be there. Then there's other times that, there's no chance for me. You know, there's no hope for me. You know, because I know that I'm a sinner. And we battle that flesh all the time. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. The author is saying that Jesus came, preached it, told us about it, and there's those apostles and disciples that heard Jesus preach about it, and they conveyed it to other people. Now this author, the way this is written, might not have heard it from the Lord, but he heard it from those that did hear it from the Lord. And so he's writing it, and he said, that, as was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. The Holy Ghost. Oh man, that is a beautiful thing. You know, there's times that I've been filled with that of the Spirit that I just want to jump up and down. I can't get control of myself. And then there's times that I'm strained and worried and just fear. If you don't think that I feared coming here today, I feared coming here today. Now, a lot of y'all might not understand, but what were you scared about? Well, this. Being used. You know, I would have much rather come here, and Brother John said, don't worry about it, don't sweat it, that he and Brother Gary take control. You know, that would have made me feel a whole lot better coming into this church. But, like I said at the beginning, I knew that there was slim possibility of that. The Holy Ghost, according to his own will, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, wherever we speak. You know, what he's doing, what the writer's doing here, he's letting this Jewish community to know that Jesus is above all powers. He's above that of angels. Angels are beneath that of Jesus. There's no one that the Father had given the title to where he said that this is my beloved Son in whom I love. Yeah, he didn't tell his angels that, but he told his Son that. And what did his Son do? He told us that. He let us know. I'm going to skip there. That thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. We got, you know, I think about that. It says under his feet. That's even below the feet. That's the way I feel like I am. I am below the bare soles of his feet. I'm not even worthy. John the Baptist said, latching upon his shoes, I'm not worthy to unloose. Well, I'm not. If John the Baptist wasn't worthy of unlatching the latching of Jesus Christ, where does that put me? That puts me down underneath, way down. And that's where we all should be. We should humble ourselves before that of the Lord, because he is all power. He's great and wonderful. He has given us so much. He has blessed you so much. We don't even count the blessings like we ought to. You know, if we tried to count them, I hope you can't, because I don't have enough fingers and toes to count all the blessings that God has blessed me with throughout my life. I can reflect back to when I was young. That was many years ago, when I was young and I was foolish. You know, my mom used to always tell me that the good Lord watches over that of the fools, drunks and fools. And I always fell in the fool category, you know. And even when I'm now, you know, and I did have my party days. I'm not going to lead you astray. You know, I'm sort of like, you know, if I talked to one of the brethren at church, and he was so worried about the things that he's done in the past, that the Lord would really forgive him of the things that he did in the past. I said, well, let's look at the Apostle Paul. You know, he's the prime example of a man that if I was the Lord, I would not have quickened him. You know, I would have said, well, what good is this fellow going to do? He's persecuting the church. He's persecuting my saints. He's taking them all aside and going inside their homes and bringing them out. You know, hailing them out. That means dragging them out. They didn't want to go, but he was dragging them out. And he was persecuting the church, persecuting Christians. And he thought it was good. He was well pleased with himself. And the greatest conversion I've ever read is the conversion of Saul. Yeah, he had it all figured out, didn't he? Just like you. You got it all figured out. You know, like when I was young, you know, I said, well, I was raised up a Primitive Baptist. My mom and dad always went to church, and I had to go. You know, I mean, it wasn't that I volunteered to go. I didn't have a lot of choices. Even when I went off to school and came home on the weekend, I still had to go. And matter of fact, when I was coming home from school, my mom was still telling me how to get a haircut. You know, I didn't have a lot of liberty. And I wanted to grow my hair long, and she said, no, you're not going to grow it long. You're going to get it cut. And, of course, the barber was my cousin. And so, they used to call him Cousin Manny. And Mama would walk in with me. I am 19 years old. 19 years old. My mama walking in with me and telling the barber, here's how I want you to cut his hair. You know. Now, when I got married, I finally got the freedom and liberty, you know, to do what I wanted to do. And believe me, if you look at some of the pictures, my hair was down to my shoulders. I had a full beard on. I let it go. I mean, I was celebrating. No longer did I have to have a crew cut. Sort of like, I tell you something else I did. You know, when the Beatles was out, I was in about the 7th or 8th grade, and the Beatles was very popular. Y'all remember the haircut that the Beatles wore? Oh, I wanted a Beatle haircut. That's what I wanted, a Beatle haircut. So Mama said, okay, all right, we go to the barbershop and you have a Beatle haircut. But what she meant by that was I kept a little bit of bangs, but everything back here was cut short. You know, so I had a crew cut here with a little bit of bangs, and that was the beetle haircut. But I say all that, saying that here is how the Lord works. He took one disobedient, unworthy individual, and that's right, and I'm applying what happened to me, I'm applying that to you too.
Right.
You know, we all have been through it, you know, and he took me when I was disobedient, wasn't worthy of his mercy or his grace, and I, you know, but some reason, God chose me and quickened me. Now, why did he do that? I didn't want to be a Primitive Baptist. I told them all that, you know, I want to go where they have softball games and stuff. I wanted to go to the church over here with a big steeple because they had softball leagues. And little did I know that this was going to happen to me. I didn't have any clue that one day I'll be standing up here trying in my weak way to bring forth a message from that of God. And that's a troubling spirit. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God, isn't it? All these preach brothers know exactly what I'm saying. It's a fearful thing. This morning, I couldn't sleep this morning. And, you know, I told Ellen last night before I went to bed, I said I wanted to get up early enough because it takes her so long to get ready. So don't take me, she wanted me up and out of the way. And so I had plenty of time to read and to study. And you go out on the porch and you know, everything went wrong. You know, and when you're in an apartment, you don't think about the neighbors underneath you. You know, one come out while I was trying to read to walk her dog, and then I was really getting into trying real hard to concentrate on what I was reading, and then somebody came out with a radio, and I finally had to tell Ellen, say, "If you're out of the bedroom, I got to go to the bedroom. I got to read." You know, and Sam told me, said, "Well, wait, you've been doing this for all this time. Why do you have to study so much?" Brothers and sisters, I got to study. And you've got to study. I'm not just talking about me only.
Right.
But God's will to please him is to be able to study that of the Word of God.
Yes.
He wants you to hear the Word of God. He wants you to study the Word of God. Why do you think this Bible is before us today? Because God's will was that he would document, he would cause these apostles and these writers, these scribes, inspire them to write the Word of God. And this is the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, the Word of God is the power of God unto that salvation. We need to hear this Word to enjoy our salvation. I mean, and you know what? I'm not going to wait till I die and enjoy the salvation. Our salvation is now.
Amen.
It's today. A lot of people don't understand that, but when you're quickened from that dead state into a lively state with Christ Jesus, you're enjoying your salvation. You're enjoying what God has given you. Now, when I was dead in trespasses and sins, there was a time that I wasn't enjoying my salvation. Didn't even know it existed, didn't care about it. But I'm going to tell you now, I care about it. I care about my salvation. I care about serving that of my Lord. And I hope and pray that each and every one that is at the sound of my voice desires and hungers after that of enjoying your salvation. Your salvation is a gift of God. It is given to you. Unconditional love. We get into Brother Gary, your sermon the other day that I listened to was about love. And I thought that was a beautiful sermon. I enjoyed it. But you know, Jesus loved us so much. Where did his love come from? Because he's God. He was God. God incarnate. Jesus Christ. You know, some people like to draw him as a separate image, but he is God. And brothers and sisters, God, on his own will and given time, sent Jesus upon the face of this earth. He could have came as a king. He could have been adorned in glory, but he came as nothing but a carpenter's son. Poor and needy. What was he needing for? He was needing God's people. You know, he needed you so much. He loved you so much. And I think about this, that you know anybody that would go and do what he did for that of the love of his children? You know, Jesus suffered in a miserable, most unique way of dying It was a curse that died put out of the tree. So Jesus took himself. Some people say, well, the Jews persecuted him and turned him in. He gave himself to them. He gave himself to it. Now, was he troubled with it? Well, he was like, no, I don't know if I'm reading out of Hebrews anymore, but anyway. But, you know, the thing about Jesus is that he knew the time, the moment, and when everything was going to happen. He told his apostles, the disciples that followed around, the time is not yet. The time is not yet. That time when he had to suffer, the supper that he ate with them, that he that communion that he had, that we have communion to honor what he did, he knew that time. Now, was he troubled? Because he was of the flesh, like you and I, he had to suffer. He had to suffer so that he can comfort each and every one of y'all in your suffering. He suffered as that of a man. He went to the cross, and he was abused, whipped. I can't even imagine surviving that. And I can't hardly imagine going to the top of that hill and being nailed to a cross in the pain and agony. You know, if that had happened to you and I, we'd have been bitter. You know, we'd have been bitter and said, you know, we'll curse each one of y'all. Y'all gonna put me through this? But what did he say? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Were you there the day that he was persecuted, the day that he was crucified? Well, I hope you were. I hope I was. That's right. We were all involved. All involved. When he went to that cross, he went to that cross for each and every one that the Father had given him to die for. That will bring, let me read on a little bit. I'll go to 10th verse. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through the sufferings. So there it is. Your captain of your salvation, which is Jesus Christ, was perfect, was made perfect, that he might suffer in the magnitude that he did for you. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. So that tells you right there that that's not everybody, is it? No. The world wants to think that everybody has an opportunity for this salvation. All you got to do is accept the fact that Jesus is there for you, and you got to accept Jesus is what it amounts to. Some people say, well, you got to let Jesus in your heart. But I'm going to tell you this, brothers and sisters, that if you have a desire to love that of your Jesus, and you want to have a home with that Jesus, that means he's already there. He's already there in your heart. That's what gives you that unction. That's what gives you that desire. It says here, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. In the midst of the church. That's what we're doing today. Whose church is this? This is not Brother Gary's church. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ's church. Now this building, I don't know who owns this building, but that's not the church. This would be an empty place. An empty place. If nobody showed up. You can ask Brother Gary, being the pastor, if nobody showed up, he'd be feel lost, wouldn't he? You know, you feel like you almost have to have somebody so you can preach to, you know, somebody that wants to hear the gospel. And it's discouraging when the church is empty. But it's uplifting when you see God's children flocking and assembling into this little house. Because you are the church. And he's going to come back for his church one day. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. That's what we're doing now. We are singing praises unto that of God. What got us here today? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And that's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to declare us before his Father. He's going to declare our name before that of the Father. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Now, what does that tell you? That's not all inclusive. It is inclusive of God's children. It said here, "Behold, I am the children which God hath given me." That means right there that God didn't give everybody, did he? The writer here is identifying that what Jesus is saying here and what he's preached in the past, that he's doing this. He was saying praises and that of the church, and again I would put my trust in him, and again, "Behold, I am the children which God hath given me." What did Jesus say before he died? He told his disciples when he was preaching to them in the book of John, he said, "All that the Father has given me, not one is lost." Now what does that mean? Yeah, I think about this a lot. You are so blessed. Now you need to count your blessings because you're living under the law of grace. How about all of God's children? That was before Jesus Christ. They didn't have what you had. They had the promise, and they didn't even like to listen to the promise. You know, it was documented by the prophets of old. The prophets that you read the book of Isaiah, there's all prophesying the coming of the Messiah. You know, and again, I wonder sometimes how in the world, when the wise men came and talked to Herod about the child of Jesus Christ being born, and Herod had sense enough to say, "Well, where does it say that in the Bible where he's going to be born?" You know, the documentation was there. It was written down. But brothers and sisters, these saints back in those days were just like us. Sometimes we just don't care, do we? We don't put forth the effort. You know, it's easier to sit on the chair of nothing than it is to come to the house of the Lord. But we need to be up and about our Father's business. Yeah, and we need to work out that he has worked in. First off, God has worked this salvation into us. He has given us this salvation. We need to be appreciative and thankful. "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." You remember over in Peter, I know time's running out, but over in Peter, if you, and I think it's the third chapter, where it talks about Jesus when he was crucified. It said, "For Christ also," 18th verse, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." I love thinking about that. I might not have it down, Brother Gary, but I love thinking about it. Who was he preaching to? I believe he was preaching to every spirit that was God's children that had died in that of hope only. That Jesus was going to preach to them what has been accomplished. And he was letting them know, those that were prisoners in the bondage of sin, that the thing that you have hoped for has come to pass. Could you imagine what sermon he preached to them, that our Lord and Savior preaching to the prisoners? Oh man, it must have been a beautiful, powerful sermon. I could just imagine how great that sermon was. But anyway, he says here that, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people." Reconciliation. Do we know what that means? Restored back to friendship. You know, if not for Jesus, God could not look upon us. You know, somebody, I heard a preacher one time preach about, do you feel like you're righteous? You know, I know that the first thing I said was, no, I don't feel righteous at all. He said, then do you have the Spirit of God within you? And if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you have righteousness within you. And we have that righteousness within us, so we can proclaim that we are righteous in the sight of God. We have been made righteous by that of Jesus Christ. And we have been justified. I love to talk about justification too. that we have been justified by that of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? I tell people what it means is that I was guilty of all get out. Guilty of sin. I wasn't innocent, that's for sure. But Jesus shed his blood for us. And I hope and pray for this little unworthy dust here, that he has given me something that is more precious than gold or silver. It is something that we need to hold to and stand fast in and not drift away. It's easy to stray to the right. It's easy to stray to the left. But through that of the grace of God, we are to hold fast to our God and worship and praise that of a God that has done so much for us. Then we were not worthy of anything. But yet he suffered, bled, and died for our sins. If we can't think of nothing else, just think about what he did for us. He did for us. You know, and I can read, I think it's over Peter where he redeemed us again. I love that again. You know, because we were his children at the very beginning of time, but because of sin, we fell apart, fell away from him. Because of the sin of the flesh, because of the sin of Adam, and because of Adam's sin, all men were made sin, mankind was made sinners. That includes women. You know, I always have to include the women in there because you are mankind. Now, some women don't like to think about that, brother, here, but, you know, but that you're mankind. You came from that of man. And somebody told me the other day that what happened was they took the rib of man and made a woman because God saw that he blew it on the first one, you know, and made man first and saw what a failure man was, so he made woman that was more perfect. Now, brothers and sisters, you're made perfect, you know, in Christ Jesus. Now, you can't hardly believe that you're perfect. I know I can't believe I'm perfect, but I'm perfect not in my own sins and my own lust, but in that of Christ Jesus. I have been made perfect before that of God. In other words, he sees perfection. God can't look upon that of the sin and the nature of sin that we are bound to. What he sees is the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ, that went to the cross and did it all for you. It redeemed every one of his children that the Father had given you, been redeemed by that of the blood of the Lamb of God. I tell you what, I wish that we could continue talking about Jesus Christ. He is something else. You know, he is a beautiful, beautiful man that came upon the face of this earth. God. He was God incarnated in that of the flesh. And he came here and walked among us, God's people. Can you imagine? I wish I was there. I wish I'd been there. Now, I hope that I wouldn't be like Peter. You know, Peter is a little bit hard-headed. But, you know, Peter, even as hard-headed as Peter was, he was the first one called. Wasn't he, Brother Gary? He was the first one to call to preach the gospel. Jesus saw him upon that of the shore and told Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" He said, "If you do, feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." He said Peter got a little disgusted because he asked it three times. "Do you love me more than these? Do you love Jesus more than yourself? I hope you do." But that is exactly what it's supposed to be. You praise God and glorify him, crying, "Abba, Father," to that of a great and wonderful God that has done all things for us. May God bless you.
Amen. 314.